I want to thank you for coming along to the prayer meeting tonight. We're thankful for your presence with us. We've had good nights of prayer thus far. We pray the Lord will come upon us again by His Spirit this evening. 625, these familiar but precious words. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So 625, and we'll ask you to stand as we sing together, please. Let's just bow together in prayer, please. We'll seek the Lord's face together. Father, we do rejoice in the truth of these words that we have sung together. They are old, and yet they're ever new. They come tonight with blessing and freshness to our hearts. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. We rejoice in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can say that to us who believe, He is precious. He's the friend that sticketh closer than any brother, the one that is the friend of sinners. We rejoice in His love towards us. We thank Father of the greatness of that love. We remember that He humbled Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We're glad tonight that we're able to say that He died for me, my Lord and King, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We thank you, Father, that we have that assurance that satisfaction has been made for our sins. We thank you for the knowledge that we've been justified freely by your grace. We thank you for the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us. We thank you, Father, for that garment of salvation that you've been pleased to give to us. And we do want to rejoice tonight in the greatness of your love, the vastness of your mercy, and the greatness of your salvation. Remember, Paul spoke of thy so great salvation. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll open our eyes as we read the scriptures, teach us a little more about thyself, and teach us even day by day a little more of what the Savior has done for it, or done for us. We pray, Father, that we will be taught more of the truth as it is in Jesus. Thank you for the Bible. We praise thee for all that you've told us, recorded for us in the scriptures. We thank you, Father, for a book in which you've revealed yourself to us. And Lord, give us eyes to see thee, even as thou art. Help us, Father, to see your greatness, how great thou art. We think of the greatness of your power. You're the one that has made all things. You're the one that upholds all things by the word of your power. We know that all things consist by thee, that you spoke this world and you spoke this very universe into existence. And Lord, we remember that your word says that there's nothing that is too hard for thee. May we be encouraged by that knowledge, even what Paul wrote in the book of Romans about Abraham, that he was persuaded that what you had promised, you were able also to perform. And Lord, we pray that you'll give to us that conviction in our own hearts and in our own souls. We thank you for these last nights set aside to seek the Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house, to call upon thee in the place of prayer. Thank you, Father, for all that have gathered for these seasons, the encouragement that they've been, the blessing that we have known. We know that it's no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. Remember that you've said I unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. And Lord, we know it's no vain thing to seek the Lord and to call upon thee. We ask thee to lead us on in prayer. We ask thee, Father, to strengthen our prayer lives. We pray that you'll strengthen the prayer life of this church, of this congregation. We pray, Father, that you'll strengthen the prayer life of every faithful evangelical church across the land. We pray, Father, there might be a reviving of the prayer meetings all across this province and even all across this nation. Lord, lay upon our hearts that deeper burden, a greater conviction of the need to seek thee. You've said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So, Lord, we pray, enable us to pray. Enable us to seek thee even in a greater manner, with a greater fervency than we've ever done before. Remember what it says in the book of James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What can be accomplished, Father, through one person that gives themselves to earnest, fervent prayer, to fervently seeking the face of God? We often, Father, think of our labors and our work and how important that is to be busy for the Lord, to be laborers for the Master, but how much can be wrought even in this world in the work of the gospel through earnest believing prayer. So, Lord, we ask thee to pour out in a greater measure the spirit of prayer even upon this church. We pray that we'll be like the early church, even in the book of Acts. The devil wanted to come in and cause a division, cause a distraction, but they said, we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of thy word. Lord, we ask for that deepening conviction, just to give ourselves more to prayer, to wrestling with God, to pleading with thee, to praying down the blessing of God even upon our labors. So be with us, Father, tonight in the service. We pray that you'll guide us. We thank you that we've sensed a little of your presence amongst us tonight already. May the power of God be known. We pray that you'll bless this meeting, bless the word of God, bless the season of prayer. Give us help as we call upon thee. Lead us on, Father, as a church, even as we considered a little last night. We're praying, Father, we might go forward as a church. And we pray especially that we'll go forward on our knees, that we'll go forward in the place of prayer. So we ask thee just to hear us now and abide with us. We offer these our cries in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read together, please, some verses from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll begin to read at the 11th verse, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, down to the end of the portion. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labour among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecies, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this, the public reading of his word. The verse 17, please, is our text tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We pray it might be a challenge and encouragement as well at our hearts tonight at the end of this short series of nights of prayer. The words of the text tell us and exhort us, pray without ceasing. I trust the Lord will speak to you through these words, and I pray the Lord might write them on your heart tonight. I want us to think a little about prayer. It's appropriate in these nights of prayer that we've set aside, that we consider and meditate a little just upon what the Word of God has to teach on the subject of prayer. Particularly tonight, we want to take up the question, why? Why pray? Why should we, as the Lord's people, either individually or the Lord's people together collectively as a congregation, why should we take the time, as we have done a little extra this week, why should we make the effort to seek the Lord's face in prayer? Why should you pray privately every day? And we certainly would want to urge that never a day passes without taking the time just to seek the Lord, to thank him for his blessings, to cry to him for guidance and for help. But why should you take the time to pray privately every day? Why should you make the effort to come to the prayer meeting, set the evening, or as has been the case this week, to set the evenings aside to come to the prayer meeting? I want you to just consider with me that question, why? It's a simple question. It's a basic question as far as the things of God are concerned. But it's so very important and so very instructive, brethren and sisters. And I pray that it will come with a fresh challenge even to our hearts tonight. I want us to consider that. I want to seek to give you just some answers to that question, because I believe as we ponder it and what the Word of God has to say about it, it will encourage you. It will encourage you to pray more, to devote more time to prayer in coming days than you've done in the past. So let me give you some answers to that question. Why should we pray as the Lord's people? Think first of all of the fact that it's commanded. I want to stress that first and foremost this evening, brethren and sisters. Prayer is commanded. It's clearly commanded in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. Whenever you read the Bible, and remember that in your quiet time, we've mentioned praying every day. Well, prayer and the Word go together. Read the Bible every day. Remember the old chorus says, read the Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. And whenever you read the Bible, you cannot miss the fact that prayer is commanded to the Lord's people by the Lord himself. God commands us to seek his face. He commands us to lift our hearts and to cry unto him. And he commands us to pray in so many places. Quite a few of them are familiar to you as the Lord's people. Think of the great promise, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What a verse of Scripture that is. What an encouragement to the Lord's people. If we call, the Lord has promised, he has pledged, that he will hear and he will answer our cries. Think as well of our motto text for last year, Hosea 10 and 12. It is time to seek the Lord. We're to seek his face in prayer. And it says we're to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon us, till he open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, send those showers of blessing upon the land. Think of the words of our text. It's an exhortation to prayer. Pray without ceasing. What a challenge that is. Sometimes we pray in fits and starts. We pray for a day or two. We have our quiet time for a day or two, maybe at best a week or two, and then circumstances push it out. The verse is encouraging us to pray continually, even through the day, in all the circumstances, all the situations of life. Mr. Spurgeon said on one occasion that he seldom prayed for more than 15 minutes at one time, but he seldom went 15 minutes without prayer. He was continually lifting his heart to God, even as he was going about his work, his ministry, his daily responsibilities. He was crying to the Lord. Think of those words that you find a number of times in the gospel accounts. It says we're to watch and pray. We're to watch the events going on around us, the events that will lead up to the coming again of the Savior. We're to watch our own life, watch our own walk, watch our own testimony before the world. But it emphasizes the importance of prayer. We're to watch and to pray. Do you remember what the Savior said, Luke 18, when he was telling the parable of the unjust judge and the widow woman? He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Isn't it true? We do faint. We have our fainting fits, as Mr. Spurgeon described them. We can faint in the things of God. We can faint especially in the place of prayer, especially when we pray, seek the Lord, and the answer doesn't come as quickly as we expect or as we anticipate. He says men ought always, not now and again, not just in the difficult days, Not just when there's trouble and when there's problems. Men ought always to pray. James said, is any among you afflicted? I think that would take most of us, if not all of us in. At some time or other, regular occasions, we're afflicted. There's afflictions come upon us in this world, in this life as the people of God. Well, he says, if any of you is afflicted, let him pray. That should be the response that should come from our hearts. That's how you deal with, that's how you address. If you like, that's the antidote to the afflictions that we experience as God's people in this life. So it's clear, men and women, prayer's commanded. Those are several well-known examples. There's many others that could be given, but prayer is clearly commanded. It's often, it's continually commanded in the Word of God. And I want to encourage you tonight, as you read the Scriptures, watch out for the commands for the Lord's people to pray. Maybe take a notebook, and every chapter that you read, watch carefully, ponder it carefully to see if there's a reference there that exhorts you to seek the face of God. It will reinforce what we're seeking to say to you tonight. I think it could be said to you this evening, said confidently, that this is the most repeated command in all the Word of God. It's the most commanded duty of the Christian life that you will find in all of the Scriptures. In fact, it's commanded so often that we're left in absolutely no doubt as the Lord's people that this is God's will. This is God's will for our hearts and for our lives. So the reality is this: if you don't pray, if as a Christian you don't have a prayer life, then you're not doing the will of God. You're not fulfilling the will of God in the Christian life. You're not living the Christian life as you ought to, as one of the Lord's people. So why should we pray? Here's the first answer. We emphasize because God has commanded it. God has clearly spoken about it. God has clearly directed us to pray in His Word. So can I ask you in the light of that, what is your response to God's command? What is your response to this command in particular, as we're thinking of setting time aside, as we're gathered here in the prayer meeting? What's your response to God's command to your heart to seek His face in prayer? Remember, it's our duty as Christians to know His will, to know His commands. And when we clearly know His commands and understand what they are, then we are to do them. We're to carry them out in our lives. So that should be our response to these commands to pray. We should give ourselves, we should give our hearts and our lives to seeking the face of God. The Savior said, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you." You can only be described as a friend of God, as Abraham was in the Old Scripture, in the Old Testament Scriptures, if you obey the commands of the Lord. If we disobey His commands, that can only be described as sin. Can't be viewed in any other way. James said, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." If you know what is right in the Christian life, for you as a believer, if you know what is good before the Lord, what is good for you as a believer, and you don't do that thing, then the Bible says clearly it is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And the fact is, if you don't pray, you've disobeyed the Lord, disobeyed God's word. There's sin in your life, the sin of prayerlessness. And be in no doubt, prayerlessness is a sin. Sometimes people try to minimize prayerlessness, try to gloss over it. Samuel said, he leaves us in no doubt, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." So that's the first answer, brethren and sisters. Why pray? Because God has commanded it in His Word. Another very encouraging reason is because of communion, and especially communion with God Himself. Let me remind you, man was made for communion with God. That's one of the the great lessons that we learn from the book of Genesis, events in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall. The voice of the Lord God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. The Lord came into the garden. He came into the garden in the evening, and he came into the garden to meet and to fellowship and to commune with Adam. But remember that that special communion was lost. It was broken because of sin. When sin entered in, man was separated from God. And maybe, Christian, that is true of you today. Maybe that's true of your life. Your communion with God has been lost. You've lost ground. You've lost out with God. That communion has been broken. And what is needed for you is to get back to the place of prayer and back into fellowship with the Lord himself. So, brethren and sisters, let me remind you, prayer is communion with God. Just take that in tonight. It is true at times we can be so familiar with what we do as Christians privately and publicly that we do not realize the magnitude of what God has given to us. Prayer is communion with God. By means of prayer, you draw nigh to God, to the Almighty, to the Sovereign God, to the Holy God of heaven. By means of prayer, you draw nigh to God. By means of prayer, you can speak to God. There's few of any of us in this meeting has ever spoken to the monarch, to Queen Elizabeth this special year, her platinum jubilee. But think of it, men and women. You have the privilege, you have the opportunity as a believer to speak to the Lord himself. You have the opportunity to fellowship on a regular basis with the Almighty God of heaven. So remember tonight, prayer's not just a duty. Prayer's also a privilege. Prayer's a great privilege. One of the greatest privileges of this life. One of the greatest privileges that God bestows upon us and favors us with as his people. In the words of the hymn, Joseph Scriven's hymn that we sang at the beginning, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. So the question for you and I tonight is it? Is that how we view prayer? You can speak to your God. You can commune and talk to your Maker. You can confide in the one that is your Savior. Bring to him every concern, every situation of life. Is prayer that privilege to you? In Genesis 18, we read about Abraham at prayer. And Abraham was a great prayer warrior. Remember, it was in that great chapter where Abraham interceded with the Lord for the cities of the plain. The last verse of Genesis 18 says, the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. Isn't that a tremendous verse? Isn't it a challenge? Isn't it very instructive to our hearts tonight? As soon as he had left communing with Abraham. Reminds us that prayer is communion, that great blessing. But note, it was the Lord who was communing with Abraham. It doesn't give us the detail the other way around. But the lesson, brethren and sisters, is prayer's communion. Communion with God. That intimate fellowship. That intimate relationship. That intimate friendship. That intimate association that we can have with our God. And remember that we need it. We need that fellowship. It's vital to us in the Christian life if we're going to be spiritual people, going to be spiritual believers, if we're going to go on with God, if we're going to grow in the Christian life, if we're going to know God as we should. How do you get to know any person? By spending time with them, by talking to them. And it's just the same with the Lord. That's how we get into the closer relationship with him. So communion, brethren and sisters, not just with each other. And that's important. That's a vital part of the Christian life as well. That's why meetings like this are important as we fellowship together and seek to exhort one another. But there's a higher plane than communion with each other, and that is communion with God. That's the highest fellowship. That is the highest communion that any mortal person can ever experience in this world. And it's ours, brethren and sisters. It's ours by means of prayer. And I encourage you tonight to grasp that. So why are we here this evening? Why have we set these nights aside? Why do we come to the prayer meeting? Why do we pray? Because we have a desire to commune with our God. And you know that thought, that truth, if it grasps your heart tonight, if it grips you, if you see it as you should, it'll revolutionize your prayer life. And it will revolutionize the prayer meetings of this church. If you realize this evening the great blessing that God has bestowed upon us to give us an opportunity to be able to fellowship, to talk, to commune with Him. Remember that heaven will be communion with God. We look forward to that, to spend eternity with the Lord in His presence. The old hymn, we'll talk it over in the by and by. I'll ask the reason, the Lord will tell me why. But remember that prayer should be heaven begun below for the child of God, because we have that opportunity by prayer to commune with Him here in this world and in this life. And yet for many Christians, it's not heaven. For many Christians, it's a burden rather than a blessing. So why pray? Well, it's commanded because of communion. Another reason why we pray is because of confession. And I'm not thinking here so much of confession of sin. And we do, and we ought to confess our sins in prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's right. It's important. That's how we keep up our fellowship with the Lord. We shouldn't, as Christians, hold on to our sin. All sin is dealt with as we're on our knees and as we cry to God, as we confess to God and ask for His forgiveness and His mercy. But prayer itself, bowing before the Lord and calling upon Him at the throne of grace, that is a confession in itself. It's a confession, you ask tonight, of what? Well, it's a confession of our weakness. It's a confession of our inability. It's a confession of our limitations. We have great limitations in dealing with all the adverse circumstances of this world. It's a confession as well of our need, of the greatness of our need. Do you remember what the Savior said when He was here on earth? Without Me, ye can do nothing. Not one thing, men and women. Without the Lord, you can't do one thing in this world. It's good to remember that, to be reminded of it, have it impressed upon our hearts. And you know, when we pray, it acknowledges that fact. We're making that confession to the Lord. Lord, without You, we can't do a single thing. Whenever you pray, whenever you take time to pray, when we as a church set aside time to pray, what we're saying is, I need the Lord. I need the Lord's help. And men and women, if ever there was a day in the history of this land, and if ever there was a day in the history of this church that we needed the help of God, it's this day in which we're found. Prayer is a confession that we need the power of God, that our own strength and our own power is not sufficient for the circumstances. Prayer is a confession we need the Lord to guide us. We need a guide, and He's the only one that can guide us, that can guide our footsteps clearly in the way that we should go. Whenever we bow to prayer or to pray, it's a confession we need the Lord's protection, and our families and this church as well needs the Lord's protection from all the fiery darts of the evil one. So whenever you pray, you're really crying out to the Lord, and you're crying out to the Lord for help. We're calling the Lord to come down into our circumstances, into our situation. We're praying for divine intervention. We're declaring, Lord, I can't deal with this situation. I'm not able for these circumstances. Remember, Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? And you know, sometimes that's why the Lord brings us through certain events. We can't get to the place where we think that we can deal with everything that crosses our paths. And sometimes the Lord has to remind us, no, you're not. You're not sufficient for the events of this world and the situations of this life. Our sufficiency, men and women, is of God. And remember, if you don't pray, if prayer is a confession of our need, so if you don't pray, really what that is saying is, you don't need the Lord. Or you're saying to everyone around you, and you're saying to the Lord himself, I don't need you. I don't need your help. I'm able to look after this myself. You're trusting in yourself. And what that displays, men and women, is a heart that is full of pride, self-confidence. And sometimes the Lord has to come and knock that out of us. So why pray? Well, it's commanded. It's communion. It's a confession. The final one I'll mention is it changes. Well, prayer changes things. Prayer changes events. And that's a great blessing. That's a great encouragement to us as you come to the Lord's house, to these prayer meetings. And none of us really know the circumstances that others are facing. Sometimes we think we know what others are passing through, but the reality is that we don't. Well, be encouraged that prayer can change things. Prayer can change the situation that you find yourself in tonight. Remember that promise. The Lord says, if we call, he'll answer, and he'll do great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. The words there, which thou knowest not, they have the idea, great and hidden things, things that you can't see happening. The Lord's intervention, the Lord dealing with that situation in a way that you could never expect that could take place. So be encouraged tonight that prayer changes things. But that's not the all-important thing, men and women. The most important thing is this. Prayer changes people. And prayer changes you and me. Sometimes, whenever we find ourselves in a fix, we pray for the circumstances to be changed. Maybe that's the automatic reaction. That's the first thing that we think of. That's the natural reaction. We pray for the circumstances to be changed. But you know, often it is us that needs to be changed. And sometimes we're blind to that fact. We don't see it. We don't see that truth as we should. Often what is needed is you need to be more wise in handling those events. Pray for wisdom. Need to be more submissive. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you, commanding you, encouraging you, but you've been resisting, you've been rebelling the will of God. And maybe that's the change that is needed in your heart, just to submit to the Lord and say, the will of the Lord be done. Sometimes the Lord has to change us to make us more patient. Remember, the Bible says you have need of patience. Tribulation worketh patience. That's the reason why the Lord often brings tribulation into our life, into our circumstances, to make us more patient. Maybe you need to be more loving towards those around you, those in the church, those in your family, those in your community. Maybe you need to be more humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Well, if we don't humble ourselves, sometimes the Lord has to do it for us. He has to intervene. Maybe the change the Lord is looking for in your life is more gracious. We're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we mistakenly think that when we get saved by grace, that's the only thing that we have to do with grace as Christians, just at salvation. But the Bible says we're to grow in grace. You may be familiar with an old saying about the Lord's people. There's a lot of the grace of God about that man or about that woman. Well, that's the change sometimes the Lord wants to make in our lives. Make us more gracious. Make us stronger in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What is really needed, what sums up all of those things, is that we need to change so that we're more like Christ. More of the image of Christ is seen in us. We're more like the Savior. And remember, that's what the great doctrine of sanctification is all about. It makes us more holy, makes us more like the Lord Jesus. And the question is, where or how does that change take place? Well, it takes place at the place of prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray over God's word if that change, if we're going to be changed into the image of Christ. We need to pray his word into our hearts and into our souls. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's not just a case of reading the Bible through, and that's very important. You also need to pray it in. Pray it into your heart so that it becomes effective in your heart. Effective to encourage you into the closer walk with the Lord himself. Remember the Savior on the Mount of Transfiguration. It says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Isn't that very interesting? The fashion of his countenance was altered. His glory shone through. His glory shone out as a result of prayer. And remember, it'll be the same for you, brethren and sisters. There will be that change. More of the glory of Christ will be seen in your life. Think of what the Bible says of Moses, the man of God. His face shone while he talked with him. Remember, he had that unique complexion, that unique experience. His face glowed. There's been a lot of talk these last couple of years about masks and face coverings. Well, Moses needed a face covering because as a result of his communion, as a result of his prayer life, the glory of God was seen in the face, in the countenance of the man of God. His face shone while he prayed, while he talked with him. So we learn, brethren and sisters, prayer changes us. Sometimes we're too fixated on God changing our events. Well, the most important thing the Lord has is for prayer to change you and I. And you know why the process of sanctification sometimes is very slow in the lives of some Christians? Well, simply because they don't pray as they should. They don't spend the time with the Lord at the throne of grace as they ought. So here's a simple question, brethren. It's a basic question, and yet a comprehensive, all-important question in the Christian life. Why pray? Well, it's commanded, it's communion, it's a confession of our hearts, of our need of the Lord, and because of the change that prayer can bring about in our hearts and in our lives. So pray the Lord will encourage you tonight. I pray the Lord will teach you these truths. Pray the Lord will challenge you as a result of them to spend more time seeking his face in prayer itself. So think of the words of the text. Pray without ceasing. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all of our hearts tonight. 632, please. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all his want, all my wants and wishes known. So 632, and we'll sing all of the verses and we'll stand together, please.